As part of the WILO and Clinton County Chamber of Commerce Leading in Uncertain Times, we do have Dr. Steve Tharp on the line. Dr. Tharp, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm hunkered down and following all those rules I keep talking about.
So where are we still sitting at one death and 11 cases here in the county, or has that changed?
We've not had any other deaths. So that has not changed. Looking at the map this morning, we had 19 positive cases, and that's compared to 18 that we had from over the weekend. So we are gradually moving up, and that pace is accelerating a little bit.
When did it jump from 11? When did that jump occur? That's the last one we had.
Well, they update the map every day on the Indiana State Department of Health website. And if you put in your search bar isdh.in.gov, then that'll bring up a page. And then at the top of the page, there's a little section there that says for coronavirus information, click here, and that'll take you to the page that shows the daily changes. They update that map at 12 noon each day.
Yeah.
And that's the latest information on numbers. The 11 was last week.
Okay.
It's there, but unless you go look, there's not a public announcement usually.
Okay. Well, are we doing any better?
Yes, better is a good question because what does better look like? The slower that we progress, the better that is. So yes, we've been doing well with what we're doing. Now that doesn't mean that things have stopped. What that means is that we doing the things that that help to slow this down. Our concerns are that 11 cases is really not very much. And when you look at it from the other direction, what that means is that there's quite a few people who are still susceptible to the virus, and so we have to try to figure out how to deal with that. That's what's happening on the national front now, as people are starting to ask the question, well, when does this all stop? That's the balance that is so hard to achieve.
What's your thoughts on reopening?
Reopening is going to take several things to happen, and reopening is not something that the nation does. Reopening is something that communities do. The reason is that there's so much of a difference between what's happening in, say, New York City compared to what's happening here. New York City is basically in crisis, and they are pulling through that crisis and actually starting to look a little bit better. But there's still a lot of exposure out there, but they're farther along in the process than we are. From the standpoint of not being sick, that's good for us. From the standpoint of, how many of us are going to get sick eventually, that makes it a longer to whatever final ending we reach with this whole thing. So we are hoping that we are going to have some tools that are going to help this a lot. I would like to recommend an article that I ran across that was in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and the title of that is From Mitigation to Containment of the COVID-19 Pandemic. I believe that that article is available online if you search for it. I did search for it and found it, but since I also have a subscription, I'm not sure whether that'll work absolutely, but it did seem to work. But the article is really talking about what it's going to take for us to return to normal, or at least whatever the new normal's going to be. There are several elements that we need to have. We need to enhance our testing, first of all, to figure out where we are and what's going on. There are actually two kinds of tests now that you'll hear about. The original test was the kind of test that looks for the virus or fragments of the virus, that would be a test that says whether or not you would be infectious and whether or not there is currently an infection going on. That's the first one that we've had. Over the weekend, we've started to hear of a second generation of tests coming out, which are the serology tests. And those are tests that look for the immune response in our bodies to the virus. Those tests tell us, whether or not we've been exposed to the virus before, and although there's some controversy about what that information will mean, basically that's what gives us immunity, as we would get from a vaccination if we had that available. So that's the second kind of test, and those need to be done as well. The article points out that for us to really get the benefits of a lot of people being immune, which would prevent the spread of the virus quite a bit, we need to be able to do about we need to have about 50 to 65% of the population have antibodies that fight this virus, and we're nowhere near that. At least by our account right now. The bottom line is that the testing is going to be important, but the second part of it is, what do we do with the answers to those tests? The test that shows the virus is present needs to be very much available. They talk about it being available not through healthcare, but just in general, so that everybody can just get the test and find out. It needs to be cheap, and we need to be able to identify those positives quickly. And I think all of that is coming, but we're not there yet. Once we do that, then we need to be able to educate that person and say, look, you have the virus. This is what you need to do, and that's the isolation that we need to have. But we also need to be able to trace, contacts of that person, so that we can find where we are, and take care of them as well. This is not going to be a cheap solution, but in the end, that's probably what we're going to need to do. I've gone on too long about all of that. What do you think about it?
Dr. Tharp, I was able to find that article here. I just put it into Google search, Mitigation to Containment, JAMA, and it pulled it right up.
Right. Great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. might be able to put that link on our website or something.
I think it's a very well-written explanation of what we need to be doing.
What would you Let's put this way. How far away do you think we are from reopening, and what are we going to have to do to reopen? I mean, without maybe falling into another round of this.
Well, reopening, the first step of reopening is, you know, just starting to get business back into production and that sort of thing. And I think that once we've crossed the peak in the state of Indiana and we seem to be controlling things, then I think that the beginning stages of opening will start then. And that would be, you know, getting back to normal medical treatments for those of us in the healthcare industry, which would be like elective surgery and usual visits. So we feel that there's a good bit of immunizations that are being missed, the routine childhood immunizations that we need to catch up on and do things. And that, of course, is not done virtually. So we have to, those things would come back. We need to allow people, you know, to shop and to do normal things. But as we do that, we need to continue the protections that we have, such as not having people in large groups, and obviously, if you're sick, stay home. Don't leave. We need to pay much more attention to that. And if we're doing that level of things, you know, I think that we should be able to get there within a month or so. The real business of going back to entertainment venues and things like that, you know, that's going to be a lot longer, and that's a really difficult thing to predict.
Do you think that when it does reopen, that masks will be a mandatory part of this? And if they are, how close are we to be at to where everybody can get their hands on one?
Okay, the masks, I think, are helpful. Masks, in general, protect the people who are not, you know, the other people, not the person wearing the mask, because what we're trying to do is to reduce the spread from people who don't really have symptoms yet or anything like that. I think that we do not need to have, you know, these medical grade masks to accomplish that. Right now, we see a lot of people producing homemade masks, if you will. And in fact, my wife has been making some of those, and we've collaborated a little bit on what's how you know what we need to do. But if you understand that the purpose of the mask is to keep droplets from going out into the air, the mask doesn't have to stop all of the virus particles. It needs to stop the boxcars that they're in, and those are the droplets. And if we just use even the homemade masks, which there are several plans out there to do, then I think that would accomplish what we're looking for. Not only that, but you know, cloth masks can be laundered, and that and the laundry process without any special treatments, just detergent and possibly a little bit of bleach for people who are extra careful. You know, should kill the virus quite well, and allow them to be continued in use, so that we don't have to have a crisis of masks if we do that.
Okay,
Dr. Steve Tharp, we appreciate your time this morning. And every time we talk to you, Dr. Tharp, it's a sunshine, blue sky morning. So,
well. Don't tell my wife or she'll make me call in more often.
Okay. All right. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you very much for letting me connect with our county and help and answer questions. And we are here to serve, and hopefully we are getting through this, and that you are as well. So thank you very, very much.